Let me ask you, do you have a Bible? If you have one, you can find Psalm 130. If you don't worry about it. I'll just read it. Psalm 130. And we're just going to spend just a few moments here in conclusion this morning. Psalm 130 says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities or keep a record of wrongs, O Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." Now, the rest of this psalm is rich as well, but that's where we're going to stop this morning. Let me ask you a question. If I were to ask you, what was your personal proudest moment as a citizen of the United States of America, what would you say? In your personal history, I don't mean, when the Civil War ended, because none of us were alive then. So as old as you are, what was your personal proudest moment? I don't want to hear testimony, just think about it. But I'm up here on the platform, so I'll give you mine. My personal proudest moment, I think, was when Ronald Reagan was being sworn in as president of the United States. And the reason why was not because I'm a devout Republican, or that Jimmy Carter, forget that. Anyway, the reason it was such a proud moment to me was because, as many of you who were alive back then, and you remember back in 1979, 444 days earlier, 50 of our Americans were kidnapped right out of our embassy in Iran during the revolution. And for the next nearly a year and a half, they were held hostage. And through all of these anemic attempts to get rid of them, nothing worked. But when Reagan was sworn in, and under the pressure of knowing what might happen, they let him go. I don't know why that was such a proud moment to me, but it really, really was. I remember the thrill of patriotism as I'd never felt it before. Now, facts are stubborn things, right? And the freedom that's offered in this psalm makes any other release from captivity seem like getting released from jail and playing capture the flag. I mean, it pales in comparison. If you truly grasp the freedom that God offers to you in Christ, there is no other release from captivity that could ever compare. There's no greater freedom. And just in these three verses that I just read to you, make it four, I just want to quickly give you three things that I see here. One is just awareness. Out of the depths I cried to you, O Lord. You know, hear my voice. That sounds like Allison as she drove down the road, crying out on behalf of her husband and her marriage. God loves it when we cry out. Now, she was certainly aware of the troubles that she was in, even though she was a believer. Her husband wasn't. This psalmist understood his dilemma, did he not? He had a real awareness, so he cries out from the depths. That's half our problems here. We don't recognize the depth of our need. If you're here this morning as one who has never truly repented of his or her sin and truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in the depths of despair right now, whether or not you even know it. But you need to know it. You need to be aware of the crisis that you're facing. So I see awareness here. I see awfulness here. Oh, Lord, if you would keep a record of wrongs, who would stand? It's a rhetorical question. No one would stand. What I think is ironic about that statement, about that question is that the truth of the matter is he does keep a record. He's the omniscient God. He knows everything. And Jesus even said in Matthew chapter 12 that there's going to come a day in judgment where every idle word that men shall speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. Have you ever read that? Every idle word that you speak, you will have to give an account for. Now, that's obviously not talking to people who have a relationship with God. I mean, that's an awful thing, isn't it? I want you to let that sink in for a moment. If you go into eternity as one who has rejected God's plan, who has rejected God's provision, who has rejected God's salvation through his Son, then you will give an account because he does keep the records. In Revelation chapter 20, there is an awful scene where John writes, "And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open. And another book, which was the book of life. And those whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire." Now that's what the Bible says. God keeps the books. But on the virtues of his Son who died for your sins, he expunges, he takes away all of that record on your account as he places all of Jesus' righteousness into yours, which is a very nice thing for him to do. If you will recognize your dilemma and see the awfulness of all of this, the last thing I see is awe. Awareness, awfulness, and just awe. Verse 4, "But there is forgiveness with you." Everybody just go like this. Whew. "But there is forgiveness with you." That's your get out of jail card. That's your freedom card. There is no greater freedom. There is forgiveness with God. The word forgive means to let go. It means to hurl away. That's what God does when you place your faith in his Son. He lets go of your sin. But if you hold on to your sin, so will God. And you'll give an account for it in eternity. It's an awesome thing, isn't it? That God would take everything you've done, doesn't matter, everything you've done, and place it on his Son and expunge your record. That's an awesome thing. "There is forgiveness with you that you may be feared," he says at the end. Now, if I wrote that, I'd say, "There is forgiveness with you that you may be loved. You love me, I love you." But the psalmist says that you may be feared. When we really recognize the depth of our need and we receive his Son, Jesus, as our Savior, we get forgiveness and we begin to fear God. This awareness doesn't ever go away. It's like, again, to refer to Allison's testimony, I'm talking to him all the time. That's what it means to fear God. You want to know whether you have a relationship with God? Ask yourself this: do I even care? Do I even care? Do I spend any time with him? Do I ever talk to him? Is there any freedom there? Because if there isn't, it doesn't matter how many prayers you've prayed, how many religious exercises you've gone through. Some of you say, "Well, I got with my sister and I prayed the prayer." That means nothing. That means nothing. If the repentance hasn't taken place in your heart, then mark my words, you are not forgiven. You are on your way to hell. You will give an account for all of your sins. So stop fooling yourself. This is an awesome thing. There is forgiveness with you. Can I get a Baptist amen out of that deal? That you may be feared. Now, some of you are thinking, "My husband, he won't forgive me for all the things I've done to him." Listen, there's forgiveness with him. There's forgiveness with God. Some of you are thinking, "My wife, I've done so many things, she'll never forgive me." There's forgiveness with God. It doesn't matter if 1,000 people in this world refuse to forgive you, God will forgive you if you'll accept him on the basis that he's laid down, his son Jesus. Will you examine yourself today? You've heard the stories one after another. Your religion won't save you. Your niceties won't save you. The good things you've done won't save you. Your baptism won't save you. All of your religiousness will not save you, but Jesus will. There's forgiveness with him. May we pray? Thank you, Father in heaven, for the greater freedom that we have in Christ. There is nothing to compare it to. There is absolutely nothing to compare it to. And I pray, Lord, that because you alone can register this on the hearts of people, that you would cause an awareness to take place. I pray for our young people that are here today, Lord, many of which have been raised in Christian homes, but they're not saved. They're not forgiven. They do not fear you. That there would be an awareness, that there would be an awfulness within them of the realization that they'll stand before you, the living God, and it's a fearful thing to do that. But then that they would be captured by the awe that there is forgiveness with you. What a wonderful thing. Thank you, Lord. What a powerful illustration of where you tell us in the New Testament that love does not keep a record of wrongdoings. And it was demonstrated in Jesus. If we'd place our faith in him, our life would be hidden with him in you. And I ask, Lord, right now that you would touch some hearts. Perhaps we have visitors here, Lord, who come to honor the baptismal candidates, and they're hearing this story. They've heard the stories of their kindred, and they're wondering, do I need this? And maybe the Lord is creating that in your heart right now. You're just thinking, I'm aware of my need. It's an awful thing to stand before God. It's an awesome thing that he sent his son Jesus for me. I want forgiveness. I want to believe that he died for me and rose again. If that would be your heart's desire, you can place your faith in him right now. I invite you to do that. Lord, may those of us who know you be constantly aware of you, because there's forgiveness so that you may be feared. Recognize the awfulness of people around us that are going to hell without Jesus. And ever live in the awe of your love and grace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.saylorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.